Well, hi everyone. Today is Sunday, August 5th, 2007, and this is EdTech Weekly number 41, a roundup of news and resources in the world of education and technology. EdTech Weekly is on the EdTech Talk channel of the World Bridges Network. My name is Jennifer Madrill in Hoboken, New Jersey.
This is Dave Cormier in Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island.
And Jeff Lebo in Bow, New Hampshire. And I missed it. What did you say? World or worlds?
I think I said world, but we can go back and check.
If you missed our exciting pre-show, maybe we'll release that as separate audio. But why don't we get into the show?
Absolutely. I'm going to start us off today. As you'll hear the bitterness leaking out of me for the rest of the day and probably the next couple of weeks, I've been having some problems with the folks at Second Life, and I think I have cast them aside for my project and the rest of the stuff I'm working on. And in my search for finding new places to bring multi-user virtual environments, I found this wonderful blog post over at, it's called Alternatives to Second Life. And it's over at Second Life Games, interestingly enough. But a very, very detailed overview of all the different virtual worlds that are out there, some video of the different worlds, descriptions, all kinds of stuff. A really great starting place for anybody who is looking to get into the whole online virtual world scene. Near the bottom, too far to the bottom, I would say, are the open source options, which is what we'll be talking about later. But do check out this post if you have any interest in this. It'll get you up to speed in a hurry.
So you don't want to talk about Multiverse and other stuff yet?
Oh, no, it'll come.
Oh, this is exciting. That's another thematic.
I feel a build-up.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Very good. Well, I just wanted to thank everyone who contributed this week before I jump in. We actually have a record, I do believe, this week of 68 or 66 contributed links, so thank you, everyone. And I am going to jump right in with my first link that is called JCut. It's jcut.com. And it is provides you the ability to create your own movies on your through your browser. So you can have an unlimited upload of videos, and then once they're uploaded, you can edit them, you can add audio, you can add comments. And the really cool part of this software, or web application rather, is you're able to then host it, which you can with most other sites, but you can also then download it and take it with you. And so far, I've not seen the ability to be able to do that. And I also wanted to put in a link. This was reviewed on Read Write Web this week, so I'll put that link in as well. So here's the review, and again, the software is called jcut.com.
And I'm going to try to do a thematic thing as well, believe it or not, on the topic of wikis, which I'm not especially a big fan of. I tend to think of Drupal's having wiki functionality, but this site is great. It's a list of educational wikis, or examples of educational wikis, and so they've taken real projects that real teachers are doing from all over the world and created links. And they provide descriptions and contact information, and if people are looking for, okay, how can I use a wiki in my class, always easier to show than tell. And this is educationalwikis.wikispaces.com.
Very cool. As Jeff indicated, the replacement that I'm finding for Second Life was actually released, today is the 5th, 2 days ago. Its full version was out. It is called Multiverse. This is a link to James Al. Oh, wow, I didn't even know who had written that. It's funny because this same gentleman was the guy responding on Chris Anderson's blog about Second Life today as well, so this all sort of connecting together. The whole blogosphere is ringing around this one issue. It's cool. So Multiverse is server operated. That is, you download it, put it on your server. It is a 3D space. It is. It allows you to upload 3D wireframes, which Second Life does not. And overall, it just gives you a lot more control, and you actually keep the content, which is the other criticism that people have about Second Life, and that you go in, you do a whole bunch of work, but where does that work go? Well, it stays inside Second Life, and there's no way to get it out, whereas with something like Multiverse, where you actually install it on your own system, you have way more control over the environment, and also you get to keep all your stuff. Very cool. I had the server up today. It was very easy to install. I'm looking forward to trying out the client and the different versions of it this week, and I should have an update for you next week.
Do we get to pick our own names?
No, everybody but you.
Everybody but me, okay.
You, we call Bozo.
So just so I understand this, it's an open source software where you can create your own virtual world. So if you wanted to create Virtual Dave Land, then we can log into Virtual Dave Land, which is running on your server. You can customize it as you wish. And
then we can link up Virtual Dave Land and Virtual Jeff Land.
Ooh.
Uh-huh.
Ooh.
That's magic.
Oh, yeah, no, this is the real deal, right? You get all of the sort of fun stuff that goes with a solid online platform. And the other thing about this software is it's got some serious backing. Like, there's actually money in it. It's not, I don't think it's going away anytime soon.
Can't wait to hear more about that.
Mm-hmm.
And moving on kind of my little path here as far as creating more slideshows and video things. This one was also rated this week by the Read Write Web, and I'll put that link in as well. But the name of this application is PanRaven. And again, web-based, Web 2.0 fun little slick application. You can upload media, and then you can tell a story. So the idea here is you add a lot more narrative than in some of the other slide sharing applications. It also has the whole social networking component, so invite your friends, have them add photos, have them add to the narrative and the story, and then similar to something we talked about last week, you can then print it out in hard copy, and the prices appear to range around, let's say, $30 for about a 20-page book. So it's at panraven.com.
Very nice. While I'm talking about wikis, here is Mashable's list of wiki tools, and so this list not only things you can use with programs like MediaWiki that you can install on your own server, but also things like PBWiki and all your wiki needs. But more interesting news from the world of wikis was that this week, Wikia, which is the commercial part of Wikipedia, bought Grub. And Grub is a search thing that used to be owned by LookSmart. But basically, I believe the Wikiverse is planning on using this as like an open search tool. And it begins by saying, you know, search is part of a fundamental infrastructure of the internet, and it is currently broken. Why is it broken? It is broken for the same reason that proprietary software is always broken. Lack of freedom, lack of community, lack of accountability, lack of transparency. Here we will start to change all that. So I'm sure Google is shaking in their boots, but open source searching sounds good to me.
And it's not just searching of wikis, it's searching of everything, huh?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Cool.
Open source. My next link is to sort of go in with an earlier comment about blogging. This week I had a couple of meetings with some folks who went on to tell me that blogging is, you know, blogging, and that it's boring and there's just a bunch of people talking about themselves. And I've pretty much reached the limit of whatever patience I may have had for that particular argument. This article that I'm about to post is from a blog called Freedom to Tinker. And to me, if the next time I'm going to be explaining to somebody why blogging is so important inside of our culture and all the things it can do, I'm showing them this blog post. It is about the e-voting reports that were released in California. And the other thing that these academics that I were talking to about were saying that blogs aren't valid for research. And to me, what this blog has done is gone in, taken apart an entire report, read it page by page, put in all the relevant links to the relevant parts of that report, and then allowed us to understand it. Because it's a blog, it actually makes it past the mainstream media, which for some reason is not reporting this particular story. In my mind, when talking about this particular issue about e-voting reports and then the illegalities that are going on with it, it turns out that the guys who made the e-voting machines in California had passwords like 123456789 hard-coded into the machine to protect it. And one of the other passwords, Diebold is the name of the company, and another place the password was actually Diebold, the company's name. And, you know, this really hasn't been publicized, and to me, this write-up here, regardless of whether or not it's been peer-reviewed in a formal academic journal, is just as valid, if not more valid, than most of the stuff people can find about this issue. And just stop saying it to me, please. Blogging good.
Blogging good. Okay, well, I think discussion boards are good. So here, that's my segue into my link. This was something I saw this week in Business 2.0, It is, I've never heard of Tangler. Have either of you heard of Tangler?
No.
Tangler.com. It is a Web 2.0, it's a build is a Web 2.0 version of a discussion forum. So it kind of blends the discussion forums we all know and love, and then also the presence of IM or chat. And I set up in the link I just put in for EdTech Talk so we can all give it a try. But this appears to be taking off like gangbusters in Australia. So maybe some of the Australia folks can chime in here. People from Australia can chime in if they've used it, tried it, and maybe it's all the rage and I just haven't heard about it. But I did set it up, as I mentioned, a group for EdTech Talk. You can set up either private groups or public groups. I set this up as public, so we've already received some comments from folks I didn't know, which is cool. And it's very easy, very slick. You can set up. It's free of charge. There's no charge. And as I said, you can make it private or make it public and make a topic of any choice. And I happen to make ours about educational technology. What a surprise. So give it a try.
Well, I'm trying it now, and it's very pretty and
it's very pretty.
And I see that you're online. How do I tangle?
See,
you.
I didn't have any buddies, so again, it's hard to collaborate alone, so once you're on here, you'll be my first buddy, so we can try to figure out a way to do it, but I guess it has a feature that it's like an instant message where you and I would then be able to have more of a live interaction, and then I think through the discussion feature, our conversation would somehow be recorded, so we'll have to try it when we get more people on. I don't see you yet. Are you in the EdTech Talk room?
I'm not logged in.
Oh, okay. Maybe once you get logged in, we'll give it a try once you're logged in.
Okay. More post-show fun.
More post-show. A
couple stories from the political world. One is this, where the House panel recommended that the protection given to journalists should be expanded to anyone who makes any money from what they're doing, including Google ads and things. They're trying to expand this shield of protection, and of course this is happening more and more with bloggers as they get more and play a more and more important role in the world of politics.
IBM Blade Center presents How to...
That's not nice when you visit a site and they start playing an ad. Yeah, so this is good. Bush administration didn't like it, but it seems to be going through, so that's good news. And an update on the internet radio stuff. A couple of senators or representatives have proposed the, what is it called, the Internet Radio Equality Act. And this would make it more difficult for those evil people to do the things to increase the rates like they're threatening to do. And it's Ron Wyden and Sam Brownback who are sponsoring this bill, and it looks like it's going to pass. So I think all those calls people have made about internet radio are paying off.
Excellent. Through the process of looking through a whole bunch of Linux stuff this week, as my journey towards trying to be Linux only at home goes on, I came across CodeWeavers. CodeWeavers produce a very simple piece of, well, not a simple piece of software, but a soft piece of software with a simple goal. It allows you to emulate Windows software. You can do it on Linux or Mac with this software. The cool thing about this, besides the fact that it works, is that it's an open source software that you pay for. So you can download it, put it on your hard drive, and then you pay for it after a month. And there's no weird software system in there that's going to explode. It doesn't expire. They send you an email and ask if you want to keep it, and you pay them or don't pay them. Mm-hmm. And it's a really neat model. It's nice to see this starting to happen where people go, well, no, if you like the software, pay us, and if not, then you're a bad person, but we're not going to do anything to you. So
that's
it's pretty cool.
Cool.
Yeah, and it works well. You can install a lot of different software directly onto your Linux box. That's $40.
Okay, moving on to another link that I found in Business 2.0 this week. It is, I have no idea how to pronounce this. It's BLIIN.com. And I would consider this to be Twitter on steroids. And I could be wrong, but this is how I think of it. It has a lot of the same features as Twitter, where it's you tell people where you are at the moment, you give them short little updates on your location, but this also adds a geotagging feature. So if you have a GPS-enabled phone, you are able to track your motions. People are able to go on almost like Twitter vision and watch all the little Blin, I don't know if it's Blin, B-L-I-I-N, I don't know how you pronounce it, but you can watch all Blin, you can watch all the little Blins all over the world moving around, and they can, again, tag their photos, and you can see where they are at any moment, and see what they're doing, and who they're talking to, and what they're looking at by looking at their photos. So, again, I think this is kind of like Twitter at the next level. So it's at blin.com. Check it out.
I think they bought some of the vowels from those other Web 2.0 companies.
They got discounted vowels.
I've got a quick one. Just a listing to places to get free online, not free, but PodSafe audio, which folks at the Webcast Academy have been asking about. What you can play on a webcast or a podcast. Robin Good put together a nice list of sites that provide that. So, just a quickie.
Oh, that was very cool.
Oh, it was so quick. All right, I'll put in another one since
I was it's okay. I'm ready to go.
Okay, go, Dave.
I just noticed there's some interesting conversation in the chat room regarding the low cost of the software coming from CodeWeavers and how that may be an indication that it's not necessarily the best kind of software when you compare it to something like Office, which costs $400 to $600. No, don't think that. That's all I'm going to say with that. My next link, a very detailed 12-page article. Jeff, just do the highlights. About two gentlemen, both of whom used to write on Windows issues, and both of whom left Windows, one for Mac and one for Linux. And the Linux gentleman is speaking about Ubuntu, which is what I'm running on my desktop here, and they just talk about how it went for them, and what the good things were and what the bad things were, and what they just how the experience went. And it's a nice, unbiased, sort of straight-up explanation of what the transition to a different operating system was really like. I noticed at the end that the only thing that the person who switched to Mac kind of didn't like was the fact that he'd switched to a more proprietary system, and that to some degree, to move away from Windows to something that was even more locked down seemed kind of strange. But other than that, a very informative article. And certainly if you're looking at Vista and thinking that, you know, you want to smash your head through your screen, this is a good article to read.
Well, speaking of Vista, I love when I can do that. Okay, my next link. This has been getting a lot of press in the United States. It is, I think, the first sub-$300 computer that Walmart has ever sold, Walmart and other retailers in the United States. It is being billed as a great back-to-school PC, and why I thought it was kind of cool to mention here, it runs Vista, it's loaded with Vista, and then in terms of the Office software, it's using OpenOffice, and that actually is the part that's been getting quite a lot of press, not so much just the cheap price, but also the fact that they are using Vista, but then are using open source software for the Word documents and, you know, all the Excel type things instead of using the Microsoft version. It's the OpenOffice version, so Woo-hoo. Kind of cool. And then I think if you toss in a monitor, this doesn't come with a monitor, but it's very inexpensive. I think even with a monitor, it's under $325 US. So I don't know if it works, but I guess it does. They've been talking about it all over the place. I've seen it advertised all over.
Oh, shucks. I was looking for a link that we did not mention last week about another super cheap laptop that was cheaper than the $100 laptop. but I can't find that link. I'll try to scrounge that up and put that in.
Oh, you know what? I don't think I said what this mine is. It's my link was everex.com. EVEREX.com is the make of the computer. Sorry.
Okay, and I'll go back to my list of this one, 150 writing resources from the online education database at oedb.org. Are you teaching writing? Are you looking for information about what's available? This is everything from the Internet Public Library to licensing issues to, well, there's 150 links, so they have pretty much everything, but a very nice categorized listing of writing resources.
Did you just say the word library?
I did? Yes, I did.
Would you like to tell everyone about the link I just put in the chat room?
This, if you're ever wondering, hey, what about the Nevada State Library? And what about the Ohio State Library? This is a compilation of links. We got someone in our network submitted a whole bunch of library links, and Jennifer cleverly tagged them all with this one tag so we can find them conveniently.
It's CMCGOUGH was the donor of all of these links. So thank you for all the hard work. It must have taken a very long time because I think it was 45 separate links, and I aggregated them all under State Virtual Libraries tag. So if you're looking for a library in any state in the United States, here's your link.
A couple more back-end geek links. The first one is just a forum thread from Geeks and God, and talking about the Drupal update to 5.2 for all you folks out there who have switched to Drupal with the rest of us. It's not a bad read. It gives you a sense of the different problems and successes that people have had. And my second geeky link is another video from the JISC. A few months ago, I had done a service-oriented architecture video and popped it up this week. It's Shibboleth. We talked about OpenID about a month and a half ago. This is the more heavy, industrial-sized ID management software, Shibboleth. It describes how ID management works and why it's so important right now, particularly for any of you people who are running ed tech, the computer end of the ed tech stuff. This is a very nice introductory video, and we've been looking at Shibboleth lately, and it's looking more and more like it's going to be taking over the world.
All right, I have two quick links here that are roundups, so if you have hours and hours on your hands and you don't know what on earth you're going to do, you can spend time looking at this one. The first one is from blog.ted.com. We've talked a lot about TED lately, and this apparently was from Julius Weidman. I don't know who that is, editor-in-chief, and I couldn't possibly pronounce the name of what, but he has put together this 100 top websites that everyone should know about, and I just put that in the chat room. And then also a link from Alan Levine. Let's see. Is it Levine or Levine? Does he go by Levine or Levine? Do you know?
I call him Levine. I don't know Levine? If he goes by it.
Well, he put together a very nice roundup in a wiki of 50 tools, and it's for slideshows and timelines and all kinds of things that we use every day as educators or those that are in the field of education. And he's made it into a wiki, so if you'd like to add your two cents and comment on something or add a resource, go for it. And this link is at cogdogroo.wikispaces.com.
And I have a couple of links to show you how dangerous the internet is. DEF CON, the Black Hat Conference, took place this past week, and it's where hackers get together and they collaborate. And they ask press people to identify themselves as press people, and this one woman, I think from NBC, did not. She tried to pretend she was just a regular hacker girl, and they outed her. And they chased her out of the building and kind of chased her like in the to find a predator style of, you know, do you have any comment? Do you have any comment? And they follow this poor woman all the way back to her car. So if you're thinking of crashing the Black Hat Conference, you might want to watch that and think again. During the conference, some guy got up and there was a Wi-Fi connection, of course, and he was able to break into people's Gmails very easily. And showed their email, sent emails from their account. It was Gmail that he was breaking into, but basically demonstrating how vulnerable these Wi-Fi systems are and how quickly someone can get in. So be scared.
Be scared.
Okay, speaking of scared, I'm scared about this next link and what I'm going to say about it. This is an article from the Telegraph about a prof in the UK who is saying, learning styles, what are you babbling about? Who's essentially claiming that the, I would say there's a fair number of people who ascribe to this as a model for learning, that the idea that you can take a student, judge what their learning style in the singular is, and then adjust the curriculum to fit that. The reason why this comes up in a technology context is that one of the things that's happened with the advent of video and audio and all the rest of this stuff at people's fingertips and the ease of it is that it's encouraged people in the belief that a visual learner can learn through video, and we'll set up a curriculum, and this is actually happening, where they're, you know, giving one kid the video stream of learning, and another one the audio stream, and the other one the cartoon stream. I agree to some degree with the person in this article that that's madness, and that if education isn't normative, I don't know what it is, and the idea of giving people full freedom seems odd, as the content we're teaching people doesn't seem to be particularly relevant, so you'd think that the normativeness would be the only thing that would be of value. But a very interesting article, and certainly has raised the hackles on some people's neck already.
Yeah, I thought I read through most of that. Doesn't the article end near the end saying she thinks multiple forms are best, right? Isn't that basically what...
Exactly. Well, the whole left brain, right brain, reflectors, all this stuff, there's really no solid evidence to prove that using any of these theories help people learn better. Mm-hmm. There's a group of people who feel that way, but realistically, there's no way to prove it, even if you would, but it's kind of kooky.
All right. Very good article, I would agree. And switching gears here, Doug Belshaw really stirred up a hornet's nest. I think he thought he had a very innocent little, having a bad day and these things irritate me. And apparently he came back to his blog after being gone a few days and has already 29 comments. But he posted 8 things that irritate him about edubloggers. And
what are they?
They're just pretty, like I said, I think he was just having a bad day and probably put down what I would agree with most of them. Post anonymously or don't give your full name. Big themselves up too much. Let's see. Don't put things all about your life all in one place. For example, your personal with your education stuff, your geek stuff. He believes you should separate it out, which I tend to agree. Things that are too far removed from the classroom. Oh, this one cracked me up. Sharing delicious links as an actual blog post. I thought that was kind of funny. and so on and so on. So it was just kind of funny. I think it's none of the... of them are very earth-shattering, but it is kind of funny. You got 29 comments, and people have been in the edublogosphere have been linking to this all week, so I just stuck it in here as something you might want to check out.
I feel like it's a while since we've had a good edublog controversy. We need to...
It must have been a while, because this one is not that controversial.
It's the summer. People are a little bored.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right, a couple links from EdTech Talk. One, a forum post by a fourth grade teacher in northern Michigan looking to collaborate with another fourth grade level class overseas on some project for the students. She'd like to use Skype video conferencing if possible. This is just a fledgling idea right now, so she's open to suggestions. You can, if you're interested, post on the forums. Also, in the post show, we're going to be discussing some growth possibilities for Education Bridges, including our new server and how we're going to pay for it. And toward that end, we have a poll on EdTech Talk asking the community how they would feel about Google Ads and or a PayPal donation link. So if you have strong feelings about those appearing or not, check out the poll and vote.
I'm done.
Okay. I have just a couple left, so I will start. Actually, mine kind of ties in sort of with Jeff's, if I make a big stretch here. But the link I put in is for Web Alert, webalert.com. And this just started up this week, I believe, and I would call it the rocket boom of the tech world. So it's a daily roundup of tech news. And I listened to the first one, I guess. I made it through one. They're 5 minutes long, so I could devote 5 minutes to it. And it's basically a video blog about all things tech. And the tie-in to what Jeff was speaking about a moment ago, they have a tip jar. So they have either $5 a month, or you can do a one-time donation. I just noticed that as you were speaking. So I guess that, I don't know if it works with PayPal or what. But I listened to it, and the video blog, and it was okay. 5 minutes is a little long. I really do appreciate Rocket Boom keeps it to 3 minutes. I know that seems silly to care about 3 minutes or five, but, you know, we're busy people, and you're just flipping through and you want to hear the latest and greatest. 5 minutes is...
Do you know who's behind this?
Go ahead.
Like, this is a person's efforts, yes?
You know, there's a little bit of controversy about that. The link that I found, I can't remember where I read it, but they were saying, I think this is so-and-so company that's behind this. But it looks like just a person, but it's pretty slick for just a person. So I'm not sure. It doesn't say anywhere that it's any company that I can see.
Couple quick ones to finish up. A free PowerPoint to Flash converter. This is a company that sells their commercial software for $300, AuthorGen, but they have this AuthorPoint Lite, where you can take a PowerPoint, including the media, so the video and audio, and convert it to a Flash file, which seems like a lovely way to publish it online. I didn't actually try it out, but would be interested in hearing how that goes. And my final link is something I came across and just said, It is the folks from South Park animated some old lectures by Alan Watts, who is a Zen Buddhism kind of guy. And for some reason, watching these things, I found it much more compelling than if I was just listening to audio of Alan Watts give some lecture. But seeing the little South Park style animated guy made it more engaging. Educational value or just, you know, South Park culture, you decide.
All right. And my last link is something I'm really stretching to find the education link here. Although, I guess if you watch it, you'll learn about stuff going on around the world. But though the name of the website that I just put in is luckofseven.com. And this is from Noel Hidalgo. And I don't know, Jeff, if you remember, we met him at PodCamp, and I also met him at the Drupal Camp. He is a big Drupal fan. He also considers himself an activist, organizer, blogger, bar camper, and co-worker. I think we've talked before about some work he does on co-working for those that work at home. He sets up little office spaces all around the world, or helps people coordinate and socially network and set up office space. But what he's doing, and the reason I just put this in here, on 7/7/7 of this year, July 7th, 2007, he set out on a journey to the seven continents of the world. And he's on day 29 or 30. What would we be at? I guess day 30 already. And he's documenting his trip using a Drupal site and all sorts of cool technologies to using Twitter and all sorts of different things to track his journey. So he's a really, really cool guy, and like I said, not so much to do with education, but more to the point of technology, using Drupal and other cool technologies to do something really cool and exciting. So it's luckofseven.com.
Well, lucky him.
Lucky him is right.
We got him on video, yeah?
We could. We might. I don't remember. I don't remember. But
anyway, Dave, is there anything you wanted to share before you we go to the post show?
Post-show laser.
Okay, well, edtechweekly.com if you want to leave a voice message. Post to the edtechtalk.com forums if you want to leave us a delicious link, which we always appreciate. Tag it with 4FOR colon edtechtalk. What else am I missing? Oh, Twitter. Twitter.com/edtechtalk, up to 166. Webcast Academy. Stay tuned to Webcast Academy. Lots of intern cast about to happen there. And for all the interns who are tuning in, feel free to Skype in during the post show and we can talk webcasting. And we're also going to talk a little bit about our money issues. That's all I have.
Well, very good. I'm out of links, although there are still some that we didn't get to tonight. So if you'd like to check out the EdTech Talk Delicious folder, good place to go for today, August 5th, 2007. And we'll see everybody next week for EdTech Weekly number 42.